Well, after the children's talk, I don't know what I can say. Anne said to me, we don't need a message this morning. We had it, and you did. I want to add just a few little things. I want to say that in the last maybe couple of months, we've been reflecting on Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the believers and the effect of this on their lives. And then we looked at how Pentecost is not just once off. This is something God has declared and promised to fill his people with his Spirit continually. And we looked at that lovely verb. Remember that verb? The present, continuous, passive, plural verb, go on being filled with the Spirit. So it's for all of us. And as we observe the company of believers in the book of Acts, in Acts 2 and 3 and 4 particularly, because there's the focus of what happens when the Holy Spirit fills God's people, they devoted themselves. You know, God loves passionate people. What does he say to the church at Laodicea? He says, I'd rather have you hot or cold, lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. I'd rather have you cold, really cold, you know, than lukewarm. And Saul of Tarsus was really cold, wasn't he? He was on the other side of the hot part, but he thought he was hot, but he was really cold. He was passionate, but he was completely wrong. And he is the one we're going to listen to this morning, telling us about the God who loved him, the God who rescued him, the God who took him from that passionate South Pole and took him to the North Pole. And, of course, the early believers devoted themselves to the teaching of these men. And we looked at the teaching of the men. It's very simple. It's not complicated with all these complicated things that get your mind cluttered up with stuff. It's very simple. The aim of our charge is, they all should say this, the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. That is the aim. Timothy, stop them teaching anything else. That is the aim. And Paul is going to go on teaching as we looked at Ephesians, and we're going to look at a little bit of that in a moment. But I want you to reflect for a moment on Daniel's prayer in Daniel 10. Here is Daniel, a man who grew up knowing the God of Israel, knowing the God of his fathers. And when he went as a captive to Babylon with his three friends, he so was devoted to that God of his fathers that he would not join in with the corrupt things of Babylon. He wouldn't eat from the king's table. He fasted. He wanted to be connected to the God of his fathers. And he prayed. We know he prayed. Three times a day he prayed. You remember when the decree came? You know, anyone who prays to God other than the king will be thrown in the den of lions. And we read this. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper room toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. He was already doing this every day, three times a day. Daniel was devoted to prayer. Why was he devoted to prayer? Because the God of Israel hears prayer. He loves us to pray. And Daniel was a praying man. And he prayed. Now, in Daniel chapter 10, which we read, he prayed and fasted for 21 days. It actually tells us he fasted, but we already know he was praying three times a day. So during the fast, he was praying three times a day. This is what he did. And here he is praying and fasting for 21 days, and then he has this revelation of, really, it's Jesus. The same as John in Revelation. And then he hears, the first words he hears from God in heaven are these words. Oh, Daniel. So he knows our names. Man greatly loved. Now, I know in the NIV it said greatly esteemed. The word in the Hebrew is loved. I'm very sorry about the NIV there, because that doesn't really bring out the God's message. The first thing he hears from heaven is he is loved. Now, he's not loved because he prayed. He's not loved because he fasted. He is loved because he's Daniel. You are loved because you are who God created you to be. And God in heaven thinks this about you all the time. The difficulty is you hear different things because you're living in this world. And this world, as Anna said, has got a devil in it. And he lies all the time to us. And Daniel is told, as a result of his fasting and prayer, that a war was taking place in heaven. In fact, the start of the passage says that this vision was a great conflict. A conflict was taking place. And a prince of the kingdom of Persia, a spiritual being, was opposing heaven breaking through to Daniel. Daniel experiencing, you are greatly loved. And I have to tell you, friends, that is happening to you right now. There is a battle. We prayed for Bronica, this friend of Anne's. The battle for her is that heaven would break through to her and she would know from God she is greatly loved. I know this is true for my children. And I love the testimony of my eldest son, who I love him so much dearly, just like all my children, I love them so much. But I wanted him to know God who speaks to them and tells them he loves them. And the greatest joy probably in my life for my eldest son was him tapping me on the shoulder while I'm trying to water the garden in the hot summer, saying, Dad, I need to share something with you. And me putting him off and saying, oh, look, I'm very busy. Could you just wait? Dad, I need to share something with you. What is it? Dad, would you come into the sleep out with me? I came into the sleep out. That's where he was living, in the place where you are, Sharon. He says, Dad, last night I was standing at that window. You know that window that looks over the garden? It was all dark. Looking out there. He's feeling hopeless. I just can't do this Christian thing. He's going to give up. Just chuck it all away. And then, into this room, there was someone there. And he put his arms around me. And he told me he loved me, and he just broke down and wept. Woo! Yes! That's God. That's God. And now he's a pastor in Brisbane. Because he's met God. Not because he met his father and his father told him about the love of Jesus. He needed to meet God for himself. Every single one of us needs this. And Daniel needed it, even though he knew God, he still needed it. And there is a battle over this, an enormous battle. Satan is fighting furiously. In fact, he's going to go on fighting more furiously until the end comes, because he is trying to keep the world in darkness. He is trying to stop people from hearing that the God of heaven loves them so much that he would send his own son to die for them on a cross. And in our lives, we are affected living in this world by constant oppressive thoughts and dark things, and because we're living in a conflict in this world. There's a war going on. So what is the answer to this? You know, chapter 3 of Ephesians is just a beautiful explanation of what Paul thinks. He says, you know, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation. The mystery. What is this mystery? The love of Christ. By revelation. Yes, just like Daniel, by revelation, like James in the sleep out. Saul was on the road to Damascus thinking he was doing the right thing when he was doing absolutely the wrong thing. And by revelation, Jesus broke through and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? My name is Jesus, whom you're persecuting. Paul knew heaven could break through into his life personally. Heaven could touch his soul and transform his life. That's the good news of the gospel. The bad news is that sin has made a separation between us and God. The good news is that God has provided to remove that sin so we can have connection with God, so we can have fellowship with him, so we can encounter him as he really is. So Paul, explaining all this to the Ephesians, you know, this mystery was made known to me through revelation, as I've written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. By the Spirit. Jill, what happened on Friday in that room? The Spirit came. Your husband was completely out of it. You were trying to wake him up. He wasn't even waking up. But what happened? The Spirit came. And he came alive. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. The good news is that every person on earth can partake of this wonderful provision that God has made, of this gospel, this good news. I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. It's his power that equips me. Please pray for your minister. Please pray for your minister. I can do nothing. I know people who have prayed for me. This dear lady here has prayed for me for many years. I know people who've prayed for me. And I live on the prayers of people. Edward told us last Sunday, didn't you, Edward? You lived on the prayers of the saints, bearing you up through trial. Well, Paul relied on the prayers. He just continually asked people to pray for him. But what he's going to tell us in this passage is how we should pray for each other. And that's so good, isn't it? You know, how do I pray for my brother or sister? Well, I can tell you, the Bible will teach you how to pray. It's all written down for you. You don't have to make it up for yourself. It's all here. Here is a prayer. I used to pray this prayer every day for my wife. I'm sorry, I haven't been praying it every day, I have to confess. In recent, she seems to be blossoming somewhere. But anyway, I should keep back to this prayer. Because Paul goes on to say, this was according to the eternal purpose that he has revealed in Jesus Christ, in whom we have boldness and access. In whom we have boldness and access. This table, friends, is the provision of God to give you boldness and access to the Father. This table, Jesus said, you know, the passage in Luke 22 that describes this, it says, Jesus says to his disciples, I have earnestly desired to share this Passover with you. those words in English can't possibly fully contain what was in his heart. It's better to say this. Jesus said, I've been passionate to share this table with you. If you only understood what this is doing for you. That's what he's feeling in his heart. You see, our connection to God is affected by sin. But this removes sin. So you can pray. And you can know your prayers are heard. Even if Satan is fighting you like he was with Daniel there in Babylon and telling you, oh no, it's just hitting the ceiling and nothing's happening. It's a lie. I can tell you it's a lie. The angel says to Daniel, on the first day that you set yourself to seek God, your prayers were heard. Because he was trusting in the true character of God, the Redeemer, the Saviour. And this table is access to God. That's what it is. This table is access to the Father. This is the wonderful thing. And because of this, because Paul says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Our sins have been dealt with on the cross. And Jesus is telling us, do this to remember the cross. Remember what I've done for you. Remember that the sin has been dealt with once and for all. And you have access. That's what the writer of the Hebrews says, isn't he, in chapter 10. We have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus. The new and living way which he opened up for us. So what do you think the early Christians were doing when the Holy Spirit came upon them and opened them up to the reality of this in a fuller way? What do you think they were doing? They devoted themselves to? Moravians, 100 years of prayer, 24/7. They knew they had access. And we are distracted by so many things. I know the prayer meeting is a hard place to draw people in. Because the devil hates it. He will do everything possible to distract you, to get you to stop praying. Stop believing that your access to the Father is dependent on your behavior and what you've done rather than what he has done. That's what he'll do. He put all sorts of thoughts in your head, feelings in your body, all sorts of things to make you dependent on yourself. Of course, you can never get to God. You can't on your own. You're finished. But God has provided it through his Son. And so Paul, but on the basis of this, this is why I've given you introduction to the prayer, because the start of the prayer in Ephesians 3:14 says this, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father. It's because of what I've just explained to you that Paul says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. Because I know, says Paul, he's going to hear me on this basis. And what does he pray? Well, he talks about this Father, the Father from whom every family in heaven on earth is named. According to the riches of his glory. Not according to my strength, not according to my cleverness, not according to the wonderful words I might bring to him. No, according to the riches of his glory. He may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Now, remember this, friends. This is Paul praying for Christians who have the Spirit living in them. Why should he pray for them? They already have the Spirit in them. The Bible teaches us we must pray for each other. What does Samuel say in 1 Samuel 12? When he's completing his ministry to Israel and challenging them to devote themselves and to love the Lord with all their heart, he ends with this. And far be it from me that I should sin against God by failing to pray for you. It's sin not to pray for each other. And when Annas was describing some of those scenes, you know, people who get against you, people who do this to you, people who, what does the Bible teach you to do? Pray for your enemies, says Jesus. Pray, because you have access to the Father. But not only pray for your enemies, pray for your brothers and sisters, because brothers and sisters need prayer. And God, in answer to my prayers for you and your prayers for me, will do this. According to the riches of his glory, grant us to be strengthened with power. And that word in the Greek language actually is dunamis. I love that. Dynamite. You know? This is the sort of power that came into the room at Alexander's on Friday. It was like dynamite. Boom! And there's Lawrence absolutely flowing. Like this. What's happened? It's dynamite. When we pray, God moves by his Spirit with power. And this power is by the Spirit in your inner being. So my prayers for you as a Christian will stir the Spirit in you to rise up in you and release the power of God through you. And Paul prays this, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. But I thought Christ was already in my heart. But I'm praying, he's praying for me or for the Christians, that Christ would dwell in their hearts by faith. You see, that they would believe it. Because we get tossed around not believing it. We do funny things. We stumble and fall and we think, oh, God's left me. He's never left you. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And you need the Spirit to bear witness in your heart that Christ is dwelling there. Christ is dwelling there by faith. And that you be rooted and grounded in what? In spiritual gifts? In manifestations of miracles? That you be grounded and rooted in this? What's the aim, Paul says, Christianity? That you be rooted and grounded in love. And when you have roots into love, you're a tree. Like it says in Psalm 1, the man who meditates on God's word day and night and is prayerful before him is like a tree planted by a stream, and its roots go down and it draws the water from the stream into it, and its leaves remain green even in a drought. Love continues to flow out of your heart even when you are hated by people, even when they spit in your face, even when they nail you to a cross. You are loving them because you are rooted and you are grounded in love. But notice, it requires prayers of others for this to take place in your life. It's not just your prayers for yourself. Someone said to me, oh, they're a Christian, but, you know, they're wandering around, they're not connected to a church. Well, you can't be, I'm sorry. Because you need to be interceding for certain people whom God has placed you with. Some of them are a bit awkward, a bit trying, a bit... Be a minister, let me tell you. So, but God has called me to love every single person that comes to this church. Can I do it? No, I can't. But God can do it. And he can do it in you. My brother Arnus has taught me this lesson as he shared with the children today. I know my brother, and God has taught him to love. He still has need, I know that. But God has taught him this is the way. Because this is the gospel. And Paul is praying for this. This is the prayer of an apostle who we need to be instructed by. This is the kind of prayer to pray for each other. That we be rooted and grounded in love. And we may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. How can you know something that surpasses knowledge? You obviously can't study it at university. You obviously can't read lots of books about it. The only way you can know something that surpasses knowledge is by revelation of God. That's what Daniel experienced there in Babylon. Revelation of God. And God reveals himself when his people pray. And not just a quick prayer, a good prayer. 21 days of fasting and praying and seeking God with all his heart. And heaven broke through. A great battle that was going on. And the first thing he heard was, "Oh, Daniel, man, greatly loved." Well, friends, every one of us in this room today needs to pray for each other that we will encounter this again and again and again and again. Heaven will break through into our lives. We will know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And God is? God is? And you will be filled with love. The fullness of God. Loving your enemies, loving those who spit in your face, loving your wife, loving your husband, loving your friends, loving all sorts of people. You know, there's a lot of worldly advice given about how to love. And I have to tell you, it all fails unless it points to this table and access to the Father who gives himself by his Spirit to us so that we can love. And that is the gospel. That is what Jesus came to do. That is why Jesus said to his disciples, "I have passionately longed to share this Passover with you, that you might know what I am doing for you on the cross to give you access to the Father." Remember what he said in John 14, "No one comes to the Father except through me." And what does the Father do? Well, Paul has told us what the Father does. When we pray to the Father, he releases his Spirit to release love into the hearts of his people. And we need to pray for this. Just imagine if all of us went home today and prayed this for every person in this room. What do you think would happen? "Oh, I can't pray for that person. You know, they got against me last week." Yeah, we have things, issues in our own hearts that we need to deal with to get rid of, you know, the unforgiveness, the dross, the criticism, the judgment, so that we're free to pray as the Bible teaches us to pray. I love the story of Paul. In the town of Lystra, when he went on his first missionary journey, he was stoned by the people of Lystra, dragged out the city as if dead. And the disciples, they went around, they gathered around him. It doesn't say they prayed. It just said they gathered around him. The Spirit in them gathered around him. Paul raised up. Where did he go? Did he run away from Lystra? They just stoned him in there. They just gave him a really bad time. He went straight back into the town. That's the love of Christ. That is the love of Christ. That'll take you into the lion's den, that will take you to overcome the powers of the evil one who's trying to stop us loving each other as Jesus loved us. But friends, it is possible for you to love like Jesus Christ. If we would pray this for one another, I believe this will take place. Because God says you will be filled with all the fullness of God. And Paul ends by saying, "Now unto him who is able to do far more exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." But that immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. And that power is energized by the prayers of the saints. Let's pray.